Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to the last edition of Blokes on the Bench for this season. I hope everyone had a happy Mother's Day last week. All right, so let's just, we've got a lot of games to get through, so let's just get, jump right into it. So Friday the 12th. No, what am I talking about?
You're right.
Friday the 12th of May was pretty much when the title was decided. That was pretty much it. Chelsea versus West Brom. I'm going to pass it over. What did you guys make of it?
I thought it was actually a pretty decent game. It was 0-0 for obviously a long time. I thought West Brom actually played really well, considering, you know, I think the previous 3 weeks we were speaking about how they'd already kind of packed up their suitcases and were on the beach for their summer holidays. So,
a lot of teams were, seems like, the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I remember Rondon had a couple of really good chances, a couple of really good saves from Courtois. But then Batshuayi, or whatever, however you pronounce his name, came on for, like, you know, I think he's only played, I think it was like his 11th game or something like that.
And he was only in the game for maybe a handful of minutes, about 5 minutes before he scored.
Yeah, I think it was less than that. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And it was only his second goal of the season as well, but the all-important one that clinched the title for Chelsea.
Everyone went mental. Conte was just going out crazy. I mean, it was a great sight to see, obviously. For anyone winning, obviously, for me as a Spurs fan, that's tough to see because, you know, obviously one day we want that to be us in the near term. But credit to Chelsea that they ultimately had the better team this year, and they really proved it again and again, week in, week out. I think what benefited them was not having to play in Europe this year. They could just focus on the domestic league and the domestic cups. Really help them because, honestly, I think that they're going to need to strengthen their squad going into next year.
Definitely.
If they're playing when they play in Europe, because they didn't rotate the squad very much. And when they did, sometimes you could see that certain players were just really, really crucial, like Alonso and the left back and the left wing back, I should say. And same thing with the right wing back.
Victor Moses.
Moses, exactly.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, like you talk about them going into Champions League next year, not only just going into Champions League, but, you know, going to be in the hat as probably one of the top three favorites. You know, it's kind of a different kind of beast when you put in that, you know, that group with Barca and Real, really. Well, obviously, you probably put Juve in there as well. But
you think a Hazard stays, Ryan?
Yes, I do now, yeah. I think so.
Why do you say now? Has something changed?
Did I say that?
I don't know. No, I mean, for me, I see him gone. I honestly think he's going to leave.
It depends. I think it's
more about him than anything else. I think he has greater aspirations. No disrespect to Chelsea. Obviously, they're top of the league this year, but I think he wants to play for Real Madrid, Barcelona, in another league.
Yeah. I could definitely see it. I wouldn't be shocked if he moved. I just think compared to the season he had last year, where that's the season I could have seen him going. He was shocking last year. And this year he's probably been arguably the best player in their team. Him and N'Golo Kante in the middle. But I kind of fancy him staying. You know, Champions League, they won the title. He'll, you know, but massive part of him will want to kind of defend that and play Champions League football.
Hopefully they
won
the FA Cup next weekend.
You never know.
I mean, they certainly are the favorites against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Especially with Koscielny.
Yeah, but you were saying that you think Arsenal might just do it.
I think Arsenal. I just want to see something from Arsenal. I think they've played really well, actually, the past month.
Yeah, our only loss was to Tottenham since we changed formations.
Yeah. I don't know. You just got to turn up on the day. And like you say, cup final, as far as I'm concerned, it's a one-off game. Whoever wants it more wins it. That's usually what it comes down to. So I hope that's actually a really exciting game. And to be fair, I think the way that both teams will probably set up, I think it will be pretty much end-to-end. So, yeah, I'm going to look forward to that one.
That's next Saturday, right?
Yeah.
All right, so moving on, we need to get through these results. So Everton versus Watford up at home at Goodison.
Yeah, decent strike from Ross Barkley. Just
your
after
favorite
half-time.
Player.
Wasn't really right in the bottom corner. I fancied Gomez could have maybe done a little bit better, but I mean, he hit it well enough, so fair play to him. But I think that's his. That was his last game at Goodison, for sure.
Is he retiring or moving?
No, he's going to move, isn't
he? Where's he going?
Basically, Manchester United.
No, what it is the club's already said that if he doesn't sign a new contract, that he's going to have to go to, they're going to sell him just to get money because he has one more year left on his contract. So it's very likely that he's going to go, and Lukaku may very well go as well. So you could see a much different Everton squad next year, and it'll be interesting to see how they rebuild.
Well, they're going to rebuild by getting Wayne Rooney will be the first name on the shopping list, I think.
Probably.
And they'll get him as well. Yeah, but going the other way, I could see, you know what, I could actually see someone like Everton maybe going for Swansea striker. What's his name? Llorente. I could see that, especially if they get decent money for Lukaku. You throw 15 million at Swansea.
Swansea is
going to be available. I'm sure Burrow is going to get rid of him.
I'm not even sure Brighton and Hove Albion would sign him, would they? I honestly fancied Negredo to do great stuff for Middlesbrough this year, and to be honest, I think pretty disappointing. Started pretty well. First three games, I thought he looked pretty decent, but yeah, nah, that's surprising for me, that one. I know like you could question like the service he's getting isn't on the regular and isn't of the quality, but if you want to be held as a top professional and... You know, he's played for Man City with top quality players. If you hold yourself in that same bracket, then as far as I'm concerned, you're paid to make special things happen, and it just doesn't.
He hasn't done that this year at all. He really has been a disappointment. I think a lot of us had him in our fantasy leagues at one point of the season. Well, that's probably why you're not very good.
That's why I beat you by over 150 points. North all London Pride.
Don't forget, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPBC. You can get in contact with us 434-284-9470. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. All right, so then we move into the Saturday games from last weekend. Stoke versus Arsenal. Pass them over to the resident gunner.
Go ahead, mate.
Yeah, we look pretty good in the last couple games. Just overall synopsis of the season, just didn't really get it done. There are too many games where we just kind of let it go. We look pretty good in this game. I think the biggest thing for Arsenal, other than, you know, whether Wenger leaves or stays, is we really need to hold on to Alexis Sanchez. Like, Mesut Ozil, not as much, but if we're going to fight for the title next year, seriously, we're going to need to keep him.
I don't see him staying.
I see him at Chelsea, replacing Hazard.
Great pick.
Yeah. I could see it happening. I don't want to see it happen.
But, I mean, Giroud had two goals in this game. He's had a really good season. He's kind of one of those sneaky players you don't think a lot as like one of the top strikers in the Premier League, but he gets it done. And
for the amount of game time he got this year, he scored, I think, 13 or 14 goals, and he only started a handful of games. So, yeah, his return on his actual playing time is pretty solid number.
And something, I forget the exact stat, but over the, it was one of the international games, he's now like top, something really surprising, maybe 20 goal scorers in France all time.
All right.
So like he does it for club
and
country.
Yeah, he knows where the back of the net is.
And with you know, if we decide to stick with this three at the back system, you know, maybe we change our playing style a little bit by getting him more service into the box. So
yeah, the one thing I liked about this game as well, because this is always a banana skin for you boys going to Stoke.
It's
the first time in
bad,
seven years that you got a result there.
Yeah.
It was
a couple years ago when the fans were going after Wenger at the train stop. So definitely a much better result than, you know, like you said, the last several years.
Yeah. So then Bournemouth versus Burnley. Good result for Bournemouth.
Yeah, good game that was.
Middlesbrough versus Southampton. I thought Southampton were just a better team.
Son Liver actually looked all right in that game. Mm, I felt a bit sorry for him because they obviously wanted to give their fans a bit of a send-off. Obviously, they got relegated the week before at Chelsea. But yeah, they actually played all right.
Redmond had a great goal in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greggy, do you see any of the teams going down this year coming back up right away like Newcastle's been able to do? I know we kind of talked about this in one of the last shows.
I mean, Hull would probably be...
I would say if you're asking me to put 100 bucks on one of the three, I'd put it on Hull, yeah.
Yeah. Because they've bounced back up a few times.
Yeah, they've done it. They know how to get it done. It's one of those things, yeah. Hull this year, not quite good enough for the Premier League. Had some great results. Just that consistency. I think dropping down, if they can keep hold of a few of their key players, I wouldn't be surprised if they bounce straight back.
What was strange to me is they played their best football of the year after they got rid of what, in theory, was their best player.
Yeah.
Which was strange.
Yeah, and he's gone on to do absolutely nothing at West Ham. Yeah. Can't even get in the team. He's always on the bench. I mean,
just like us.
You pay 10 million. West Ham paid 10 million for a player and sit him on the bench for like 10 games in a row.
Well, he's older too. So,
ridiculous.
Seems like his days are numbered.
All right, Sunderland versus Swansea.
Great result for Swans.
Do you think Llorente could be one of those players that's like, you know, on a lot of people's eyes this year to, you know, buy him?
Yeah, he scores goals. I fancy him.
He's a poacher. They're not pretty ones usually.
Yeah, I fancy him in an Everton team, to be honest. But Sunderland got relegated, 2 weeks before this game? And it was their last home game. And
they just beat Hull the week before.
Yeah, but
Beat Hull the week before. You're like, oh, they're going to do the double against the two teams that are trying not to be relegated. And then,
it was horrific. It's just the worst professional display of commitment I've ever seen. I mean, at halftime, the place was almost empty. It was ridiculous. If I was a Sunderland fan, I'd be demanding my money back for that game at least. Shocking.
For most of the season.
Yeah, they've been really poor all year, but that was the one game where I watched the highlights on Match of the Day, and they're highlighting some of their players, big money earners as well, just walking around the pitch, not even getting back into position, lose the ball and then just strolling back. Like, it was just, it was horrific. And you know what? People can say what they like about like David Moyes and stuff like that, about whether or not he's lost touch as a manager. But when you have players that aren't even committed to even give you the effort, and it's for the fans as well, football is massive in that area of the country.
Yeah, and it's like your last home game of the season.
Send
them off.
Send them off with something to smile about, and there was absolutely nothing in that game. Nothing.
No fight.
It was horrific.
Well, cheers to Swansea.
They did a great job coming back
and staying up. I think they're a good team for the Premier League, you know, being a Welsh side, and they've always kind of mixed things up. I remember back when Michu played for them, you know, it's always a tough place to go and play. And
top player, he was.
Yeah, you know, they'll give you a game. So it's good to see them staying up. And sorry to the other teams that unfortunately have to go, but that's just life in the Premier League.
Yeah, at the end of the day, when 38 games are done, the league doesn't lie. And that's kind of the beauty of it. Because to be fair, when you look at how the table finished out, I think there was a bit of a gap in the end between Swansea and Hull. About 5-6 points, something like that.
But yeah, I think Swansea bumped up maybe one or two spots.
They ended up being 14th or something.
Yeah.
And Watford almost, you know, they were 17th in the end.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and they were in the top 10 around Christmas, I think.
Crazy.
Manchester City versus Leicester.
I feel like this game was the one that really got City like going again. I feel like they've really turned up their engine. You know, it's unbelievable how well they're playing right now.
It does seem that Leicester City seems to be a few teams punching bag right now. Like,
yeah, the thing is with this game is that it was such a great game. There's some controversy over both City goals, really, whether or not Raheem Sterling was interfering. Which
he kind of did. He put his leg up.
I feel like that's happened to them a couple times this season.
Yeah, and
against Arsenal, at least.
The Jesus penalty. I can't remember who the foul was on.
It was on Jesus, I think.
But it was outside the box, right? when they go back, I think it was like a yard outside.
Yeah.
And he goes down and converts the penalty. But what a finish from Okazaki. You see that goal?
Oh, left-footed
volley in the top corner.
That was the best goal of the game,
Beauty.
For sure.
Beauty. And they had some decent chances. It was such a good game, like kind of end-to-end. Leicester kind of looked like their old selves. I know they didn't get a result here, but...
Mahrez had a chance, though. There was a penalty at the end.
That's it, yeah.
And he...
It's the first... I've seen it happen... Two or three times where a player's done that, but it's never been...
What is it? I mean, it was a double. It was two double
touch,
kick.
Yeah,
you can't. You have to kick it just once. He slipped as he fell, and it kicked off his left foot and onto his right.
Yeah,
and so they disallowed the goal,
and it's a free kick the other way. Mark has probably been seeing this before, where Robert Pires decided to try something with Thierry Henry. It didn't come off,
and then
touched it again, which resulted in a. in an indirect free kick back the other way. So just thought I'd bring that up for you, mate.
Well, the next result, Ryan probably won't be laughing at, Spurs versus Man United.
Oh, what a game.
Yeah, who's laughing now, buddy?
What a game. No, you know what?
Like, I had no hard feelings at all, like, at the end of that game, especially, like, with the emotional scenes of, like, the last game at White Hart Lane. And, you know, there was a few people that rushed the pitch and grabbed flags.
A few thousand people, maybe. No, that was a great. It was 2-0. Tottenham win. Wanyama had the first goal.
2-1.
2-1. Sorry, yeah. Wanyama had the first goal, and then Kane had a great touch on the second, which was just one of those goals that you really got to be top class to do. And Rooney ended up getting the final goal at White Hart Lane with a very, very close one inside the six. He just kind of tapped it in. And really, it went off of who was it?
Out of Veroud, or was it Vertonghen?
No, it was Vertonghen. Thank you. Yeah. So anyway, Tottenham ended up winning 2-1, and there were some great scenes at the end there, with the fans storming the pitch, and then they finally got them off, and then they had, a video tribute and kind of brought out some of the old players that were some of the legends of the club, and... It was a great scene. I mean, that's one of the best stadiums that's ever been in the Premier League.
You guys have legends?
Of course we do, my friend.
Yeah, no, it was good to see, actually, a lot of the old faces. Like, you had Gary Mabbott there. Even Berbatov was there.
Edgar Davids and all sorts of old
really
players.
Good.
Yeah,
it was really good.
All right. So then we come into Liverpool versus West Ham. And this is kind of where, the goals, the high-scoring games start. Liverpool beat West Ham 4-0.
Yeah, I didn't see this game. But on reflection, it looks like it was a really close game.
Not really, yeah. It was just domination by Liverpool. Really from start to finish, Liverpool was a comprehensive beatdown, to be honest. And, Coutinho really led the way with two goals and an assist. He really is a difference maker for Liverpool, and without him, you really wonder where he'd be. Mm. I was looking at the PFA Team of the Year earlier today, and I forgot that Sané was in the team.
Right,
and it's kind of amazing to think that, arguably their best player of the year, probably he's in the top 11 for the players starting. So then they don't even have their best player, and they're still playing pretty well. And we'll get to it, but they obviously got into the Champions League.
Yeah.
By finishing fourth today. So, Liverpool, they've been up and down. They've seemed to struggle against some of some of the lower in the table teams, but they beat West Ham, and, really this was a comprehensive victory.
And then the last game from last Sunday was Crystal Palace versus Hull. Again, 4-0 to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I'm just reading this now because I watched this game up until 2-0, and I was convinced that it finished 2-0, but apparently it was 4-0. So,
well, there were two late goals.
Yeah,
if you switched off the telly a little earlier, no surprise.
Yeah,
there was a goal in the 85th and the 90th. But yeah, really, the Zaha goal really just set things off right at the beginning of the game, and really from there on. It was
well. There's a player that might be on the move.
Right.
Apparently, he just signed a new contract.
I hope not.
Spurs have been interested.
Look, there are some players that are just at the right club. Because I've heard talk of Spurs want Sigurdsson. No, Sigurdsson's at the right club. Players like
Spurs want Sigurdsson. We had Sigurdsson.
I know.
We got rid of him. That doesn't make any sense.
They want him back.
We have Eriksen. They're so such similar players.
That's why I wonder if there might be something in, on the cards there. But,
well, right, we've talked that Eriksen may go to Barcelona.
Go ahead.
All right, guys, the time is 20 past 6. Yeah. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. So let's move to Monday the 15th. Chelsea versus Watford. 4-3. I actually felt sorry for Watford in this game.
Well, you're a Watford apologist, so no surprise.
Yeah, I'm not an apologist.
You love him.
I love him, but well, I've got a soft spot for him.
It's a good game, wasn't it? Right? It was a good game. John Terry probably on his what was that? His last game at Stamford Bridge, or was it at Stamford Bridge today against Sunderland? I can't.
It was at Sunderland.
All right. So anyway, he got a goal before his farewell. Anyway.
Is he hanging around just as training staff, or is he going to leave and MLS wear it, or what's he going to do, do you think?
I don't know. I think he'll probably try something for a year and a half, something like that.
He'll play at another Premier League club, almost certainly. The question is where. I mean, there's a number of clubs that need center halves, and sure, he doesn't make it into the Chelsea squad as a regular, or at least he does make it in the squad, but not as a starter. But really, I mean, like, I think he could do the deed for a number of teams out there. I mean, hey, if you're Leicester, you got to look at him, right?
Yeah, you know? But you say that, but I'm not sure that's the best. Because we talk about, okay, Robert Huth and Wes Morgan on the wrong side of 30, obviously. But you're going to get rid of, like, Robert Huth, 36? And bring in a 35, 36-year-old?
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. It's a free transfer.
Yeah, I don't know.
All you have to do is pay his wages. I'm not saying don't get anyone younger as well. I mean, but he'd be a great person if you could buy two young players, two young center backs, have him there as well, and he can teach them how to play the game on the field stuff. Off the field, you don't listen to him.
I don't think you're gonna get a lot of on field time from him though. He hasn't been fit this year.
Let's put it this way. There are clubs that want him.
Absolutely.
And maybe if you're the GM or whatever, you wouldn't be buying him, but someone's going to buy him, and he's going to play, unless there's an injury, he's going to play major minutes next year.
All right, but I think you can narrow down the clubs then. He's not going to leave London.
I mean, it certainly wouldn't make sense. He has children and a family and... But, I mean, hey, England's not the biggest of countries, so...
He's going to go to Palace because they have cheerleaders.
It's like your favorite comment.
Could be.
All right, so let's move on to Tuesday of last week. Man City versus West Brom. No real surprise here, 3-1. Man City, yeah. I mean...
Man City, the well-oiled machine,
like you
keeps
said,
on going.
West Brom seem to be just found holidaying some, right at the minute.
Yeah, they found some decent form, Man City, past couple of months.
Decent
much,
form? I think it's better than decent.
Pretty much the same as Arsenal as well. Got over a rocky patch and putting some really good results together. I think they're going to be a massive threat next year, Man City.
Mm. Arsenal versus Sunderland? 2-0 to Arsenal?
This was a strange one for me.
2-0?
Yeah.
It was like the 70-something minute. It was like the first goal.
Sanchez had two back-to-back.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's a good finish. Fun. You know,
This was one.
I really hope he stays.
This was the one during the midweek, and
yeah.
Mark messaged us, of course, as usual. Don't tell me what happens in the game, and I'm sitting there, you know, following the game a little bit. And I'm like, oh wow, Sunderland are still in this, and it's late. It's second half, and then all of a sudden the onslaught. You know, the inevitable happened, and Sanchez gets two. But I mean, think about it. If Sanchez isn't there next year, these kind of games, I mean, I really don't see you guys necessarily winning these ones in the midweek.
He's a match winner.
Losing him is going to be, I mean, that may very well mean no Champions League next year as well.
Sobering thoughts for you guys. Southampton versus Man United. Disappointing for United, obviously. We couldn't put one past Southampton. I don't.
That's a poor game. Poor game from start to finish, mate. Just move on.
Well, no. I would say the best part of this game were the goalkeepers. There were some fantastic saves in this game, and it really was both keepers. And I mean, I think at one point you guys even hit the post at one point or something like that.
Martial
hit the post. It was 0-0 doesn't necessarily tell the whole story.
Yeah, we had Romero in goal, pulled off, I'd say from memory, like four really good saves. Saves that he probably should make, but nevertheless, good, solid saves. And, you know, at the moment, the talk around Manchester is that the De Gea deal is all but done. And talking about other goalkeepers. And I actually spoke to my mum today about this, and she thinks that we already have a decent number one. So
I agree
with
that. Not
to worry about it.
And he's likely going to be starting in on Wednesday against Ajax.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's just...
He's played every game in Europa. Why? I can't stand this where you're going to, you know, because it gives like an idea that he's not quite good enough. So now we're going to play De Gea in the final.
But I mean, De Gea's better. De Gea's better. But I think the key here is if you're a manager and you say to your player, you know, you commit to them, you'll have all the games in the whatever league or cup or whatever. And then if you turn your back on them, not only does that player lose faith in the manager, but also other players will see that as well.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that you can lose players over.
Yeah.
And so I think it's the right move by Mourinho if he truly has committed to Romero. And I think that, I mean, he's the Argentine number one, right?
Argentine number one. And has been
legit
for 2.5-3 years now. I mean, yeah, he's no... I mean, look, De Gea, obviously, we put up in probably, you know, one of the top five keepers in the world. But you know what? If you're going to string the list down to, like, maybe the top 20 goalkeepers in the world, you probably stick Romero on that list as well. So, yeah, I'm not worried about it.
But what you should be worried about is the form of United. Another draw, another game where they likely should have won, and you have to say to yourself, like, can they just turn it on when it needs to be done on Wednesday when they play Ajax? I guess we'll see.
Mm. There you go. Last game, Leicester versus Spurs. I'm going to pass it over to you.
Well, this was the beginning of a historic couple games for Harry Kane. Harry Kane bagged 4 goals in this game, and you know, this game led him to win the Golden Boot for most goals scored. He also had a few more today, and we'll get to that. But the first one was a nice little kind of sudden touch that came in from Son, really good reflexes, and then it just kind of continued from there. I mean, it really is impressive how well Spurs are playing right now, and it was great to see this against Leicester, last year's winners of the league. And you know, this is around the time of the year last year when they're falling apart, Spurs are. Yet this year, they're scoring 6 goals today, 6 goals on Thursday, and they're scoring 7 goals today. I mean, it's really impressive stuff, and I mean, it's got to be up there with most goals scored back-to-back by the club. And Harry Kane, I believe, was 1 goal away from scoring the most goals in 2 games straight ever. So, impressive stuff.
You think Kane's going to stay next year?
Kane has already said that he wants to get up to 100 clubs' goals next year. And his eyes are set on Jimmy Greaves' 346, I believe, is the club record. I don't think Kane will ever leave Tottenham. I really do think he is He's a lifer. He grew up a Spurs fan. He wants to be a Spurs fan. He is a Spurs fan. He wants to be a Spurs player, and he really does have his sights after some of the all-time great records that are there for the club. So, you know, if I'm a top player and I'm, you know, a Spurs fan, I don't want to leave. Same goes for any of you guys, right? Ryan, if you were in the United squad, would you ever want to go play for someone else?
No one else.
Exactly.
Pay me £2.50 a week to play for him. And I think that's the point, right? Like, he, obviously his contract's going to go up, but the difference between earning £250,000 a game, let's say, at Real Madrid and earning £125,000 at Tottenham, there actually is no difference to
him. Filthy rich regardless.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Think is, you know, he's set in London. That's where he's kind of always been. Why would you ever go? Why would you ever cross the street and go to like an Arsenal or a Chelsea? Like, there's just no need to. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the only reason that he might move is if he carries on like this, when he hits that magic number of, like, you know, 24. Because how old is he now? 20, 22, 23?
Something like that.
Yeah, when he hits 24 and if he's still doing what he's doing now, ridiculous money is going to come in. And then it's up to Spurs to say no.
Well, yeah, I think
the
that really...
The player will say no. The player will say no.
It's on Daniel Levy to give him the raises that he deserves.
Yeah.
Yet, sure, we're not going to pay top dollar the money that a United or a Real Madrid would pay, but it's still got to be something comparable and something that continues to rise. Kane has signed a new contract, which I don't know when it ends, but most of the, pretty much the entire team has signed a new one, except for Anderweireld, and almost all of them go through 2020 or somewhere in the 2020s.
I think he's got another 3 years.
Yeah, so I mean, the club is not trying to sell him. He doesn't want to leave. He'll be there next year. And
the thing is, as well, like, you got to think about the generation, like the increase in revenue generated with the new stadium. I know they're going to be taking a small hit to start with, but I'm not quite sure how that deal is actually structured. But anyway, I feel like over the next 24 months, maybe 30 months, you know, they might see a huge increase actually in profits.
They should.
Like way more than probably what's projected. So, you know, they could probably get to paying him when the next cycle comes around for contract. Maybe they can pay him $200,000 a week.
Dollars, maybe.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that'll keep him there. Because like I said, it doesn't matter.
And Kane turns 24 in July. So he's in the prime of his career for sure. So, I mean, other clubs are going to come a knocking. I just don't see him wanting to leave the club at this point. And there's obviously a lot of momentum going into next year and going forward with the new stadium and everything. So if he's going to leave, it would probably be after Spurs win a title. He'd be 28, you know, kind of in the twilight of his career, looking for maybe not twilight, but you know, still in your prime years with you know, some kind of sell on ability after that, but.
Yeah.
Again, I don't see him going anywhere. He doesn't want to go, and if you're a true fan of any club, you don't want to play for anyone else but your club.
Right. All right, so let's move on to today, Championship Sunday, or as it's known as in the UK by BT Sports, a Survival Sunday. Arsenal versus Everton's the first game. You caught that one, Mark?
Yeah. Really, really bonehead play by our captain today. Taking down Valencia, Mike Oliver showing the straight red, which is unfortunate because now our best defender, captain, will have to miss next weekend's FA Cup final. Going to make it even tougher to... I'm saying hashtag prevent the double. Kind of hoping that we can at least get something out of this season, win another FA Cup. Wenger's definitely one of the best managers when it comes to the FA Cup, but we went down to 10 men and we played hard and we ended up winning 3-1. So Ramsey had a really pretty goal. The second goal might have been a bit controversial as far as if it were offsides or there was interference. The goal stood, and like I said, unfortunately, hats off to Liverpool. They got it done against Burrow, and it'll be the first time in my years as an Arsenal fan that we won't be in Champions League, so that one kind of hurts.
All right, so what's your the one question I wanted to... I know we spoke a little bit outside before we came in here. Arsene Wenger, staying or going?
I think he should go, but he's already hinted at the fact that he's going to stay.
What's weird is that he's saying... He said, well, I've made the decision, but I'm not going to tell anyone. And now we're kind of hearing somewhat that, you know what, it's not even his decision necessarily, and it may all hinge on what happens next weekend in the FA Cup.
And it shouldn't. I think either way, he should go. Like, if you lose, that's even more of a push towards the door. I think what really...
Well, no, what if they win? Isn't that a good send-off?
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. So the loss is you've been pushed towards the door. What they're hoping for, in my opinion, is that they win that and he can come out. And it's his football club. It's his management style. It's his decision. I've decided that I'm going out on a win. Thank you very much for the memories. And everyone will remember that the day Arsene Wenger left the club was the day that they won the FA Cup against Chelsea.
That would be a nice way for it to all end.
Absolutely. But I think either way, it's in my opinion, if I was if I was an owner, board member of that football club, this is the perfect time now. Them coming fifth, them not having Champions League football, they can focus on the domestic next year. They could be a real threat.
Well, they have
next year.
Europa League.
You can play Mickey Mouse and his mates in that, for all I care. Arsenal need to understand that, okay, we're not playing Champions League football. They're not going to commit like United have had to commit to Europa. That's our avenue back, yeah? They can honestly just focus on the domestic, because I think knowing that they're only going to play 52 games max next year is going to be huge for them. So bolstering the squad this summer is going to be important. But get a new manager in. Get some new blood in there. Get a bit of fire and determination. Because, honestly, I think if you got Arsene at the helm next year, it will be another fifth-place finish, even without, because he'll want to try and do something in that Europa League. And I think the best thing for that football club is to concentrate on the Premier League next year.
Mm.
Get the personnel in that new manager wants and can see definite improvement in. And I think Arsenal could be a real threat next year. But yeah, they have to make the decision and they have to follow through with it.
But what was great about this game, though, going back to the game itself, was Bellerin scored early. And so if you're watching, you know, all the games together, which I was doing, I was going back and forth between this game and the Liverpool match, and I had my Spurs on the other TV. It was great to see, because it put the pressure on Liverpool at very early in the game, and Liverpool, the fans were starting to sweat. Yeah. It was getting nervy inside the stadium there, and we'll get to the Liverpool game, but I think that was probably the best thing that could have happened in terms of drama for the day. And that was when Bellerin scored early. And then Koscielny, of course, gets the red card shortly thereafter. And it's like, okay, well, what's going to happen in this game? But Sanchez kind of tucked away a pretty good one to really put it out of touch. And looked as though Arsenal was definitely going to win. And at that point, Liverpool had to do something about it.
Yeah, I just want to point out as well is that this is like I think 15 years ago, there was only one game on the final day that meant anything. But yeah, as it stood going into today, three teams that were going to get relegated were already relegated. There was no final day survival. And pretty much this was the only game, whether or not Borough would get a result at Liverpool and knock them to fifth and Arsenal get in.
But so, City could have lost as well, right? If City had lost, then
I think they're, weren't they 3 points there?
I think so.
With a better goal difference.
No, I think the goal difference.
Yeah, I think it was already kind of just set up for these two games. So,
well, no, if City had lost, I'm pretty sure, yeah, because City have 78 and Liverpool have 76. So if City had lost, then they would have had to have qualified for Champions League. They would have still been...
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. But they would have still been technically in the Champions
League. They would have been in the Champions League, but they would have been fourth as opposed to third. So there was still some jockeying for
position. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
All right, guys, the time is coming up to 20-7. All right, guys, welcome back. Burnley versus West Ham. That's a nice game. 2-1-2 West Ham.
Yeah, I didn't see this one. Burnley
broke out to an early lead by scoring in the first half hour, and that's what you would expect from them at home. They've been a tough squad at home, but ultimately West Ham proved to be too much, scoring two goals. One of the goals was shortly thereafter by Fuguli, and then Ayew scored in about the 70th minute or so to bring it all back. It was a decent game. It wasn't anything amazing, but no one was really paying attention to this game.
Nah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like you can catch the highlights or whatever, but this game really had no there was no bearing on what was going on. And you know what? Let's just move on.
Chelsea versus Sunderland. Another smashing game, like just 5-1.
Yeah, but
it wasn't 5-1 the whole time.
Sunderland went 1-0 up.
Yeah.
Trying to spoil the party. And then Willian on 8 minutes to get it back to 1-1. And actually finished up 1-1 at halftime. And then 15 minutes into the second half, they kind of turned it on. Hazard, Pedro, and Batshuayi getting two goals real late on, 90th and 92nd minute. So, yeah, 5-1 to Chelsea. Kind of a good way to wrap up their season. By far the best team.
By far?
I mean by that is, yeah, I think you have to say by far, just because of, I think mentally, by far the best team. Look, I would say on their day, if I could pick one team, if any team's just firing on all cylinders, I'd probably pick Spurs to watch. But consistently, game after game after game, Chelsea, yeah, head and shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with the final point total. Chelsea were the better team for sure for the year, and they deserve to win the title. You know, Spurs flipped up a few weeks ago at West Ham, and that really sealed it. But yeah, I mean, hey, you know what? Like, Chelsea just were just too good. They had that one run where they won, what was it, 13 games in a row or something like that? I mean, they almost broke the record for most games won consecutively. They tied it in the end, which tied Arsenal. And that's, you know,
Who did they tie?
Yeah, they tied Arsenal. That's right, because Arsenal used to be good.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, remember that?
I remember when I was a nipper, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A little nipper running around in the garden, playing in the mud. I remember when Arsenal were good.
But it was some great scenes at the end of the game with John Terry. He gave a speech, and the first thing he did, which I thought was pretty classy, was it was his speech. It was obviously, you know, he's the captain, all this. And he brings out, like, a guy that's, I forget his name, but he works with Southgate on the England squad, and he's leaving the club, and he'd been there for a long time. He's like the trainer or something like that, and he brings him up, and he calls him out of the crowd, and he like gives him the microphone. He's like, "Look, do you want me to speak? Oh my God, like, what am I going to say?" So it was actually one of the more classy moments I think I'd seen from Terry, and he thanked the owner and a few other people. But it was ultimately it was good to see Chelsea celebrating, and they did the Olays every single time they raised the cup. I mean, it was a good sight to see, and that's what the season's all about.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people have a lot of things to say about John Terry. Look, in his mid-20s, yeah, he was a little bit, not a little bit, but yeah, he was pretty out there. But
From a character perspective, he's probably about as bad as it gets. You certainly wouldn't want to have your kids model his off-field lifestyle.
But I would say in the last 8 years, he's had to just keep his head down and things, so... but as a professional, like, just what a player. Like, it pains me to say.
See, I never really thought he was that good. Because my thing with him...
I always thought he had a good partner.
He was good, but when the ball came to him, all he would do is clear it out. He's not the kind of guy that would tackle the ball and then pass it to, you know, the midfielder, and then it would be like a counterattack. He'd just clear the thing, kick it as far as he could into the stands. That was his thing. He didn't have a lot of class, both off the field and on the field, is what I would say.
Mm. I disagree with that. I get where you're coming from, but...
2008 Champions League penalty kicks?
I love him for that.
I know you, but...
United won the Champions League. Look,
when it comes to the game's changed a little bit from back when he was really, really in his prime, but... As far as I'm concerned, if I'm paying 150 grand a week to a central defender, I don't care where he kicks the ball as long as it doesn't go in my net. And he was very good at keeping the ball from going in his net. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what I pay him for.
Right.
So, he's probably been, I would go out on a limb and say he's one of the top five central defenders that's ever played in the Premier League. And that's easy for me to say.
All right, let's move on.
Career-wise, probably, yeah.
Spurs versus Hull. I bet you want to say something about this.
Go ahead, mate.
Well, it was another dominating performance.
Okay. We another dominating performance.
We alluded to it earlier. 7 goals. I mean, it was
the biggest, fantastic.
The most goals scored by an away squad this year. It was really domination, and it was Kane. Sure, he had the hat trick, but then you saw a lot of other players get into it that you haven't necessarily seen score. Davies had his first goal of the season. Mm. And Everald got on the score sheet as well. Wanyama, who's been on and off again, who I think is arguably has been like the player of the season for them, just solidifying the midfield. But yeah, I mean, hey, you know what? Hull, they've already been relegated. They were on the beach, and you know, it really was proven again. I felt sorry for the Hull fans because they had to see this all happen in front of their eyes, where just clearly a superior team, a Premier League team, beat a championship squad.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty well put. All right, so Leicester versus Bournemouth.
I don't even know. Oh, okay. 1-1.
Liverpool versus Middlesbrough.
Oh, Vardy scored. Stanislas scored within a minute. Brilliant. All right, Liverpool.
Expert analysis there, yes.
Say what you see.
No, the Liverpool game was great. So this is what I was going back and forth between with the Arsenal match. And they were showing this as the game was going. When Arsenal scored, they were putting it up in the they were showing videos of people in the stands, and people were definitely looking at their phones. People knew what was going on. You're very aware of what's going on in all the other games, and they were nervous. Even Klopp, you could start to see it started to get to him, and so it was really great to see Wijnaldum score late in the first half in extra time to really bring the game. It kind of seemed as though it was. Once they'd scored that, it was like game over in a way. But then Coutinho had a nice one, and Lallana had a nice one on a counterattack, which you could have said was, I think it may have been a handball or something like that right before then, but it wasn't called in the end, and really Middlesbrough never had a chance.
All right, so the next game, one of the a United game that we can actually talk about with a bit of pride. Makes you wonder where they've been the last... five games now, is it?
Just gearing up for the final game Wednesday. So we needed a good performance today. Put a couple of youngsters out there.
Yeah, Josh Harrop.
Yeah, Josh Harrop was out there. Did the business. Good finish for the young kid.
I didn't heard of some of these players that were playing for you guys. Harrop and Mitchell, who was playing left back.
They converted into a left back like 2 weeks ago or something ridiculous.
Well, what was he playing before? Really midfield? Well.
Yeah, I think he was a midfielder. And you've got Tanzabi or whatever. He's supposed to be a right back playing central midfield.
He looks pretty good. I think he has a lot of promise.
Pretty calm on the ball.
He played in the last game as well.
But Pogba was brilliant first half, and I think I think Pogba knew he was only going to play 44 minutes because actually Jose Mourinho made two changes, one in the 44th minute and one in the 46th minute.
Which is really random.
Before halftime, yeah. And it was just to give the fact, like, so those players could get a standing ovation. And I believe it was Pogba came off and...
Carrick came in.
Yeah, Carrick came in. I can't remember who the other player he went off with.
Lingard,
yeah.
Yeah. And Martial came in.
Yeah.
And then Rooney came off at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, Rooney came off with about 5 minutes to go. So United's all-time goal scorer comes off for United's youngest ever debutant at 16 years old, Angel Gomez.
Nani's cousin, right?
Nani's cousin.
What's kind of hilarious is the app I'm looking at just says unknown because they didn't even have him inside. They don't even know who he is.
16 years old, came on. Every time he touched the ball, the crowd just yelling, shoot. Yeah, it was hilarious. But he did all right. He had quite a few decent touches.
It's always nice to have players like that.
4 minutes on the pitch.
That feel, you can tell they're hungry. Like that guy, Josh.
After he
scored, like he was running around, grabbing, like when the ball went out, he would run and grab it. Like he was just like, let's play.
Loving it. That's it. That's what you want as well from your youngsters who come in. Like, you know, play as if it's the last time you ever get to wear the shirt. So...
And you think De Gea's out, right?
I think De Gea's gone.
To Real?
I think so. I think we're going to have Romero as quote-unquote number one. But I think if there was some smart business to be had, I'd be throwing either 10 million at Stoke for Jack Butland.
Butland is the one.
Or I'd be throwing around £6.5 million at Sunderland for Jordan Pickford.
I think it's going to be more than that for both of those guys.
I think when you drop to the championship, you can't demand more than £6.5 million. It's pretty much the going rate, and it's a goalkeeper. You want the £18 million you think he's worth? Then you know what?
Stay up.
Get the rest of your teammates to show up on a Saturday and do the business.
Who would you pick then out of those two? If you had to pick one,
I'd go for Jordan Pickford.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be massive.
You wouldn't have said that a year ago, though.
I did say it a year ago.
Oh, well, I didn't hear that.
All right, mate. I'm just letting you know.
I'm saying most people would not have said that a year ago. I think most people said Butland would be...
Yeah, I mean...
Because he was in the England squad and all that.
Butland was doing well, and then he got injured.
Yeah.
Butland's a good goalkeeper.
Butland looked as though he may even start for England in the Euros last year.
But that's the trajectory he was on. Butland's a good goalkeeper. He's solid. I just think that
they're both
this
really
kid,
good. I mean, this kid,
Jordan Pickford, has something about him that could elevate him into being
one of the best goalkeepers
in Europe.
So who do you think United have to buy or are going to be? Or, well, not necessarily have to buy then. Positions that you think need to be filled?
Center back, right back,
left back, center mid, right mid, left mid, forward. Oh wait, sorry, that's the whole team. No, honestly, you guys, I think
we need to bring in six players.
You guys are great, I would say, in the final third. You don't need any more in attack. You have so many options.
I would probably go for a striker.
I think that's a luxury that you guys will go for just because you're United. That's what you have to do. But you already have so many attacking midfielders. Maybe a striker. Sure, you get Lukaku if you can. But
yeah, we need an out and out striker. That's what I want.
I mean, you have. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it looks as though at this point that Ibrahimovic won't be back until the middle of next year. Middle of next season. So probably about the turn of going into 2018 is when he'll be healthy again. So I think he's going to go to the MLS. LA Galaxy and play in the MLS. And they'll sell him, of course, so United would. And, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but you have a major injury like that. There's just no guarantee you're going to be the same player.
At
that age, exactly.
Yeah. So let's move on. Sunderland? What am I talking about? Southampton versus Stoke. Stoke beats Southampton.
Peter Crouch. Next.
Swansea.
So saying Peter Crouch reminds me that there was a game, which we said it earlier, but he had like a handball. And he scored a handball. And it was like a Diego Maradona kind of thing where he had his hand up by his head. And I think that was last. It was
Bournemouth or something like that.
It was the weekend before, yeah. I think we forgot to say it earlier.
All right, Swansea versus West Brom.
Swansea win again. I mean, they're on a tear. You know, they had to win pretty much their last five or six games, and you know what? They did that. It was really impressive the way they turned around their season. It looked as though things weren't really going to go their way until they made the change, and they brought in a man that not many people had necessarily heard of, a man from he was at Bayern at the time, I believe, Paul Clement. And you know what? They've won four of their last five, and you know what? They deserve it. And one of those was a draw to guess who?
Yeah.
United, yeah.
But do you remember, like, way back when Paul Clement came in, even people at, like, Talk Sport were saying this guy's not going to cut it? And how wrong they've been.
Well, that's why you can't listen to the pundits.
Right.
Except
don't
for
listen
us.
To us. Don't listen to us. Like, all right, so last game of the season.
You can listen. You don't have to believe us.
Right. Watford versus Man City. Another thumping by Man City. You were sending a car, Ryan. You think Man City are the real deal for next year?
Next year, yeah.
I would think they're the favorites. They have such a deep squad.
Mm.
And you know they're going to buy some players over the summer.
Yeah, they're definitely going to buy. And the people they're offloading are going to be the people you expect. Zabaleta, it sounds like.
Jesus Navas.
I could see Kolarov maybe going. But the core of it, I could see Torre probably going as well.
I heard rumors that Torre was leaving.
He's so old, yeah.
Yeah, so, but the core of it, like their mainstay kind of players, and they're only going to, like I said, they're only going to bring in quality.
Well, I mean, the one guy that you hear that may or may not leave is Aguero. And I think that'd be a big mistake. I know that Jesus is getting more minutes and he's started over Aguero, but Aguero's one of the top strikers in the world, no matter how you look at it. I think it'd be a mistake to get rid of him. Yes, he's getting older. Maybe this is one of your last chances you have to sell him for any kind of profit. But City aren't the kind of club that makes decisions based on money. I mean, they throw it around. They've kind of found their way around the whole fair play deal by having the owner of the club and the people that that sponsor them all be kind of in the same boat. So they give them. I mean, Etihad pays more money for the shirt sponsorship than anyone else. It's crazy the way the whole deal is. They've kind of made a mockery of fair play, and Yeah, I mean, for me, I actually think Aguero's probably gonna leave, which I think is a really bad decision based on the things that you read. But hey, I mean, you don't know what you're right now. You know, it's you know
the thing
no
is,
no one knows.
Aguero's a player that can win you a league,
and he has.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
Did.
And it's like, but then again, does he have to be a little bit of a bit part player coming off the bench? He's not going to like that. He's not going to go right. For that. I can see him going.
All right, so the final table, as it stands right now, Chelsea are on 93 points.
Champion!
Tottenham's are on 86. City are on 78. Liverpool on 76. Arsenal sitting in the fifth spot. You guys in Europa next year, right?
That's right.
75, Manchester United.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the liquor
store.
We are
going to try to win
Arsenal.
This Wednesday to get into the Champions League because they're in the Europa final. They're sitting at 69, Everton on 61, Southampton on an eighth spot on 46, Bournemouth 46, and then in 10th spot we have West Bromwich Albion on 46. There's two games coming up that we're not going to be here to talk about, but we'll do our predictions now very quickly. And then again, we'll be back. August 6th is our next show, and that will be for the Community Shield, the old Charity Shield. That's pretty much the unofficial start of the Premier League, because that's the weekend before, I believe, the Saturday. Or no, Sunday.
Yeah.
The week before the start of the league, yeah.
Right, so we're back for that. That's our next show. We're off for the summer now.
We'll talk about all the transfers
right,
and all the changes and...
And then obviously right back on the 13th of August is pretty much day one Premier League. But anyway, yeah, the two games that are coming up, obviously the game this Wednesday, is it?
That's right.
The 24th, that's Ajax versus Man United. Man United have to win to get into the Champions League and make it all look a little bit more rosier for, like, Jose. What are your predictions, Ryan?
You said quick. I'm going to go Man United
1-0. Yeah, 1-0, I'm thinking.
I see United winning probably 3-1, something like that.
They score
multiple goals, I see, in this game. And hey, it's going to be a great game. It'll be a great night. And if someone told you guys at the beginning of the season that United could win the double, I mean, you'd be pretty happy by that, right?
Yeah, I said, like, if we win Wednesday, I think that has to go down as a pretty successful first season for him.
Yeah.
You know what's really sad, though, is the game's in Sweden, and that's Ibra can't play in that.
And it's against his old club.
Yeah, I know. Really sad.
And then last game is Saturday the 3rd of June, and that's Juventus versus Real Madrid. Who are you going for? I'm going for Juventus.
Juve.
I'm going to go Real because...
I'm going Real.
You have such a... I think Juve are a better team, honestly. On paper, but Real Madrid, Cristiano
Ronaldo. Juve are the better team on
better
paper?
Better balanced team, more consistent team.
All right, guys.
Real Madrid's better on paper.
We have to leave it here. I want to thank everybody this year. I want to thank Dan, who does our podcasting.
Cheers, Dan.
And obviously Mike, the engineer, coming in and helping us out.
Cheers, Mike.
Thank you,
Jeff,
cheers, Mike.
The station owner, for giving us a sovereign opportunity.
Unbelievable, Jeff.
We will be back August 6th. The Community Shield, and that will kick off another season.
Hey.
I'm Andy,
Ryan,
Mark,
and Alex,
and we will have a great summer, guys, and we will see you soon.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host Andy Richardson on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition, and feed us back at facebook.com/blokes on the bench.